Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day to everyone out there. We got a fucking banger for you all today. This is the man TNT affectionately calls Sprinkles, and I've known him since he was a wee lad.
This is Kern Caples, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
Hey,
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean? Well, Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Our big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
John? Schmitty?
Talking Schmidt.
Alpha Macaroni.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talking Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talking Schmidt.
What are Yuns doing?
Holy shit.
Skateboarding homies.
No, Schmidt, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
Okay, guys, listen. Talking Schmidt is always fucking awesome, but today we're taking the fucking awesome meter to 11. We got a guy who just dropped his first ever signature shoe with Vans. He got his first cover for Thrasher, and he said, fuck it, I'll do Talking Schmidt for the first time, too. This is Curran Caples, guys. Thanks for joining, Curran.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
We're going to get into it all, but I want to kind of go back. I know you've done a million interviews and stuff, so a lot of this might be repetitive, but I'm curious to know, like, your first sponsor, I think, was Termite. Is that right?
First sponsor might have been Hurley.
Hurley.
But Hurley, I mean, and board then
sponsor?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Termite.
So I'm curious because I've heard the story before, but maybe not everyone has. Apparently, Mr. Rowley drives over to your house and you guys all go out for dinner.
I forget how old I was. I was probably 11. And then I remember I went and had, like, I think I went to the Plan B offices because, like, my parents are having a meeting with, like, Danny Way. And then the whole time I just skated the park. And then shortly after, like, within the same week, I think Jeff drove to my house, and then we all went to dinner and, like, just hung out on the porch in front of our house. Like, yeah, and it was pretty, like, special. Like, I mean, I'm curious how old Jeff would have been at that time, because I was 11, so it's probably like 2007 or something around there.
2007, so I mean, probably in his 20s or...
Yeah, which is kind of, like, wild, because now I'm almost, like, 30, and, I mean, I also don't have a board brand that I own, but it's, like, yeah, it's pretty special to have, like, someone, I mean, because his career is fully still going and, like, out there, like, almost scouting and trying to take people under his wing, so it's pretty, like, special to, you know, look back on and, yeah.
What was it that got said, or what was the aura that was like, this is the direction I want to go? Or was Jeff like one of your favorites already? Or like, what, I mean, Danny Way is Danny Way, 2-time skater of the year, like Plan B's Plan B, like they got the legacy too. So how did you guys decide, like, I want to go with Flip?
I think it was just maybe Jeff showing how, like, dedicated he was. For sure. And then, like, watching, I mean, Jeff was already at that time, like, my favorite skateboarder. So I don't even remember really, like, I was more in awe than really realizing what was going on or even what was being said. And then also just Louis, like, I think rode for Flip for, like, a year before that, and that was a big part of it. And because our families were already so close at that time. And
so you were already good friends with Louis before you were on the same team?
Yeah. So okay. I think I first met Louis probably when I was like 7 years old, 7 or 8.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we just became friends, and I would, like, go and stay at his house and come to my house. Yeah. That even started before riding for Flip together.
What's one of the earliest trips you remember going on that, like, a Flip, I don't know if who the squad is, but I mean, they had so many gnarly dudes. You must have seen some epic stuff. And yeah. Like, are you feeling like, oh my God, what am I going to do? These guys are, you know, like, how's that go?
I'm trying to think of what the first one was. I think I remember the first trip I had to get homeschooled because the like Ventura County School District like wouldn't let me take off. I think it was like a 16-day trip, and my parents went in and like asked to get like that much of schoolwork, and they were like, "No, we're not doing that. Like, if you take him out of school, like, we're gonna call like Child Protective Services."
Oh my God! Yeah, but you're so like, "No, like, we got Ali Bulala. He can teach this guy."
But I don't know what that trip was. I think it was maybe like just a feast tour, or maybe even somewhere in Europe. But I feel like at that age, I went on so many trips with them that they all kind of blend in.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like at that time, it would be like Luan, David, Jeff, Arto, Appleyard, like Bob, like Rodrigo, TX. Who else? I mean, Tom Penny. It's like, yeah, Rune, Lance Mountain. Yeah, it's like the craziest people to be around for like the first kind of like introduction to like trips and stuff. And I think I was just so young that I didn't really realize what was going on.
That makes sense. Yeah, you're kind of almost naive to like how important this is at the moment, and maybe later you were like, holy shit, I was just with all these dudes. Like,
yeah, for sure. And I think just having Louis there as well, like where it kind of didn't really, we were almost like on our own little trip. Because everyone was doing their thing, and we were kind of just off in the corner being kids.
Mm-hmm. How soon are you filming, like, for Sorry? Is that kind of right away, or does that come later?
No, yeah, that was, like, pretty much right away. They're just, like, getting dropped off with, like, Ewan, and, yeah, just getting in the van. And I would spend a lot of time at Louis's house during that. Like, I would go to his house for like a month and just post up and go skate and stuff. But yeah, that was like immediately, like after, because I think that came out like a year and a half after I got on Flip.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still pretty young. I think I was maybe like 13 when that came out.
Wow.
So
I mean, that video, all the Flip videos really were just legendary. We used to watch, I tell this story all the time, but we used to watch Appleyard's part every morning, to the point that I had never even heard of Placebo before. And all of a sudden we went to see them live because it was so in my head.
Yeah.
It was, you know, who taught you how to drop into a vert ramp? I got a friend that says maybe he did.
Yeah. So it was really random. I was probably like 6 years old, but I think my dad had an interview at like Billabong looking to get a job there like a long time ago, and my mom just took me to the block of Orange Park, and I just had never seen a ramp I think that big in my life yet. Like, went up there and I was super like hesitant, and it was like middle of the day, so there's like indoor skate park, there's usually like five people in there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was like, pretty sure it was Omar Hassan. I mean, I was so young that I was just like, oh, this is just some guy telling me what to do. But later on, I think my mom might have had like a photo or something. And then my dad's like, oh, yeah, that's Omar Hassan. Because he kind of grew up in the same kind of era together. And
yeah.
So he definitely had a lot of friends. And he's like, yeah, I've just recognized him. But it was pretty funny because I'll talk to him about it. He's like, yeah, well, I don't know.
Was it true, not this part that just came out, but the Last Vans part, there seemed to be a signature move that ended your part. Was that a little tip of the hat to Omar? Little heel flip front side grab.
Yeah, little heel flip
The money grab.
I was trying to do that the whole time with no grab. And I got like, I think it was like 3 sessions into trying it, no grab, where I just, there was a few that I probably could have landed, but they were too like scary under my feet. I kind of like, if I'm going to land something, it has to be like attached. I don't have that like Bob Burnquist instinct where it can like, you can just land whatever.
Uh-huh.
I think in my rough cut, there's one that I grab tail grab just to like grab my board. And I was like, oh shit, like I could have landed that. And then I just started trying that, and then it turned into a whole nother battle. Because I don't even really tail grab. Like I've done only a few of them in my life. And then, yeah, I think it was like another two or three goes at it where that finally worked. But it was kind of funny. Like I thought maybe I'd get more of a backlash of ending a majority of street part with like, yeah, a part clip. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't know, even my last part, it's kind of cool, I think, to end something on maybe something you battled the hardest.
Right. No, for sure.
That was one, like, oh, I'd get so sore after trying that, yeah, heel flip tail, just landing the flat for hours.
Was so. That part one of the, like, most dedicated, like, or not dedicated, but, like, did that take you kind of the most time and energy to put out?
Yeah, I think that part was the first part that I've ever, like, maybe put, I wouldn't say put effort, but, like, maybe a little bit of, like, strategy to it. I mean, when I was younger, I would just go on trips, and people would just kind of take me to stuff, and I would skate it if I wanted to. But then that one was like pretty much started right when COVID started. So it's pretty much all on me if I wanted to do something. And then no one was traveling. So I kind of was just, yeah. And then actually at that time I was like, was way more kind of stoked on skating because I was just coming off of like, I don't know, last like 10 years of my life just skating contests and like never home, and then kind of just started to get like really burnt out, and then COVID hit and it was kind of like a really nice like reset.
Yeah,
just like, oh, all I have to do is just go out and skate now. I don't have to like worry about the next X Games or some bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like definitely a fun time.
Do you got a good I'm sure you have a million, but do you have one that sticks out, a good Bodef story?
He has a lot of quotes that are really good.
Yeah.
I think those are always, like, the funniest, where it's, like, just the random shit he'll say. And then there's so much, like, stacked up in a day that you can't even almost remember, like, some of it. But there's this one that's, like, I was younger, thought it was the funniest thing ever. It was, like, all these dudes like hanging up, like are hanging out like on a roof, and then you and out of nowhere was just like, fuck those guys, they think they're cool because they're just like hanging out on a roof. just random people doing something, and it's just like, that's just kind of sums up like, yeah, the random shit that's just hilarious.
We love you and us. Ben, I've known him for a long time actually, like before he even started working at Thrasher. He used to, I tell him this to this day, because I've been doing the website for a long time and multiple hats at Thrasher, and he used to text me on the Hall of Meats when we would drop a gnarly Hall of Meat on the website. He'd be like, dude, that was bloody gnarly, or something like, you know, and like he would just come in with that fire. And he's that dude, like once he started working for Thrasher, he's a dude that puts the fire under you. And yeah. I need that. I need a guy that's like gonna get as hyped as I wanna get and then keep me fired up as well. And obviously he's a great filmer and motivator. So it's been
for sure.
Awesome to have him. So here's a silly question maybe, but what was tougher, leaving flip or leaving skate mental?
Oh, it's a hard one. I mean, was that flip for so long, like Ian Deacon being there, it was always like, I mean, they always supported us super heavy. And so that one was like, that one was maybe easier because it was a little bit like maybe it's run its course, like been on there for over like 10 years at this point and just kind of like don't really know what's going on anymore. And then, yeah, I think skate mental was a lot harder just because it was, like, still so fresh. And Eric and Brad, like, they pretty much, like, restarted the brand for us, for me and Jake. And laundry's done.
Nice.
Yeah, that one was tough for sure. Well, it was more tough because me and Jake were quitting at the same time. So, right. Yeah, there's a level of that. And then the day that we quit, like, Jake all of a sudden just, like, sporadically was like, all right, I'm doing it today. I'm calling him. And he basically, like, quit for myself. So then I was like, oh, dude, like, I wasn't ready today to make have these conversations. And then, like, Brad called me immediately. And then that phone call was mellow. And he was just like, yeah, like, whatever, do what you want to do. Like, whatever, stoked. And then I was scared to call Eric. And I kind of blew it there a little bit. And then, like, I remember we were, like, had to go do something together. I think it was, like, a street league. And I sent him this, like, just long thing how I'm just like, dude, I'm sorry. I, like, should have called you. I'm, like, it was just kind of scared. And I don't know. And then he's like, it's all good, man. But you're, like, still a little bitch. Like, he's at the text. And I was like, yeah, that, yeah, like, I deserve that. But, no, it was all good.
Yeah, that was a good era, though, with Plunkett and those guys. Like, the comedy is just next level with, yeah, like, just making fun of each other, making fun of yourselves. Like, the what was the Nirvana? There was, like, a Jack Curtain or something for Jack Curtin. Like, just so much crazy, funny stuff.
It's, like, that's what I was also really excited about to, like, ride for skate models, because I've never really had any says or, yeah, like, I've never really picked out a graphic or anything. Mm. And there was all these ideas that I would try to pitch to Flip, and they would just fall on deaf ears. And then, yeah, like, yeah, I just got to make a few graphics that I was just like, I think this would be, like, hilarious. Like, even, like, the Wavestorm board. Like, I had that idea when those boards came out. And then gave it to Flip. They didn't want anything to do with it. And I was like, all right, well. And then so it was kind of sick that, like, I actually got to do that at some point.
Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard!
I'm Tommy Guerrero, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt. Right now, be here, be there, be square, be anywhere.
Well, I've known you for a long time. I used to see you and Louie together, little, growing up, the whole thing. What really is one of the moments for me where I was like, fuck yeah, Curran, is when you showed up to Lower Bob's for the Peastone Annual, and you just got in there, ripped, and did it just like everybody else, and that paid so much respect and tribute to the dude that I love, Preston. And also, you're a part of, like, this fucking rad thing that just, you know, it's, I don't think it's happening this year for whatever reason, but we did do it year after year for a while. And every year there seemed to be, like, kind of someone like you that didn't do it every year and that showed up, and it was like, oh, this year Curran's here. Like, oh, maybe next year we get Daywan, or, like, you know, like some dude that came in to just add it, because it's the same course pretty much every year. So you can't just have Grant killing it every year and be like, oh, Grant won again, right? But no, it was sick, and I was stoked that you came up. Did you like that? Were you hyped on how it went down?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would always watch the recaps of it, and I thought that it always looked so much fun, and everyone was just having a good time, and yeah, I don't know, it's random. I mean, I was definitely, like, really nervous going there, for sure, and then I just, I guess, kept kind of, I guess, making heats, and then I was just, by the time I got to the final, or my name got called before the final, and I already thought I maybe skated a final. I didn't know there was going to be, like, qualifiers, semis, and a final. And then by that time, I was like, I don't know. For me, like, I don't weigh that much. So, like, I was, like, 6 or 7 seltzers in. We were, like, drinking Tilagos, me and Jake. And then they called my name to, like, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, all right, and it's just like Grant, Ronnie, Rainey, Pedro Barros, like Chris Russell, and I was like, fuck, this is gonna be so gnarly. And then I remember like standing on the deck, like almost like swerving a little bit, just being like watching everyone skate, and then fully realized like, oh shit, like I'm supposed to be skating this right now. And then I was like, all right, I'll just maybe figure out a trick to like battle instead of try to like, I almost didn't want to get in anyone's way because people were just like ripping around so hard that, yeah, it was definitely like a special moment because those are like, yeah, all my peers and so many people I looked up to. So it was like rad to like be in a final like that. And also being or coming from just, I don't know, skating dew tours and shit like that. And I never really liked those. So that was like way more, it just felt like way more special to skate something like lower bobs.
Yeah, the NorCals will say you got street cred. But yeah, Jake's up there with you guys. I mean, you and Jake have been friends forever, live in the same zone, but it seems like you guys are kind of almost the odd couple where you're kind of a little more reserved and he's just the maniac going crazy all the time. But it's cool. I think like it's been pretty interesting to see FA change gears a little bit. Like they got rid of some dudes and brought in a bunch of new dudes, but you're over there with Elijah and Jake, and then Louie, of course. And then how did that kind of, was it like Ave is talking with you? Like how, I mean, obviously Louie's there and then that's a big attraction, but like how did the whole, I don't know if you call it negotiating, but how did you end up being like, okay, this is what we're doing?
Yeah, like Louie hit Jake and myself with like the question if we wanted the ride for FA, and it came from Ave. And then yeah, like kind of had to make, it was like a tough decision to make just because of Skate Mental and how much felt like Brad and Eric were, and Ian Plunkett were like doing to get that going. So it was like, fuck, like this is like an honor and really sick, but like this is something cool that I feel like we got going on as well. But then kind of when it came down to it, I was like, it just makes sense, like because we already skate with most of the people that were already on FA already, right. And yeah, so like even going on the first trip, nothing seemed like out of the ordinary for both of us, for sure. Because I mean, like, we're already friends with Fletch and Cody Green, and yeah, and then so yeah, it was pretty like natural. I never saw myself getting on FA. I remember being like really jealous when Louie like left Flip to go to FA like right away. I mean, it's an honor to like have someone like Ave and Dill want you a part their team, so I was really excited
for sure. It's hard to I don't know, put things on levels because like you got Jeff Rowley, he's Jeff Rowley, right? You got Dill, he's Dill. Ave, like there's a lot of great people surrounding you. Vans has a huge cast of people, and so in a way you've always been kind of like associated with rad people and you don't know any different, like yeah. It's like, oh, these guys are fucking epic too, you know. It's like pretty sick that you can kind of have, like you said, 10 years of Flip, then maybe a chunk here, and it's just like different eras of you, and it's helping you evolve. Like you're changing a little bit more of like what type of skating you're gonna do and your personality and all that stuff. So I think it's rad, and I think I mean, I've always been a huge Dill fan. When he came up to the mag, we did a day where we just hung out and stuff, and he doesn't stop talking. Your brain is just blown by all the ways he's thinking and stuff. Yeah. So
he's hilarious.
It's great.
He's so fun to hang out with, for sure.
Talk about like this last, I guess it's probably been at least 2 years, right? Where like you and Burnett are traveling a lot together and hanging out and kind of working on this interview. You're working on the part for Vans that you just dropped. You guys got to go to Hawaii a couple of times. I'm like, Mike, this is my favorite place. Hey, over here. I love that photo. Mike took that photo that you see. It's going viral probably. Like, you're doing an air in the circle at the skate park. Like, that one's tight.
That,
like,
you're framed. For sure. Yeah. I had to, like, do it a certain way to get, like, out to where you, like, see me in it. So it's, like, almost had to go to flat to, like, make
to get out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, into that thing. Yeah. That's pretty rad. I mean, yeah, I've, like, definitely gone on a lot of cool trips with Mike. And pretty much at the beginning of starting the film for this, like, next part, I was already a little bit, like, tired and burnt from my last part. And I, like, wanted to chill for a little bit, because that was, like, it's almost, like, 3 years of filming. And then I kind of started to, like, chip away at filming, and I was going on a lot of trips and stuff. And I wish I was, like, more dedicated in the beginning, for sure. 'Cause even with this last part, like, the majority of, I mean, pretty much all the footage came from the last, like, 6 months, I would say.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, I had clips probably, it's probably like a year and a half of, like, solid, like, filming, going on trips, but not, like, wasn't not taking it seriously, but I didn't have, like, I don't know, it's hard to say, like, towards the end, I mean, anytime you get to a deadline, you're like, all right, like, I gotta do this now. But I wish I didn't, like, put off kind of filming as much. I think, like, I'm almost learning more and more as I get older, like, filming parts. So I'm like, dude, don't wait till the last minute. And then you just, like, your body just feels wrecked. And then it's, like, skating 4 days a week trying to get shit. And, like, I need to be better at, like, those times where it's, oh, yeah, I got a year.
But can the trip or the spots motivate you too? Like, let's say you're in France or somewhere and you see this thing you didn't know about and you're like, holy shit, I could do that. Like, you got to, if you're, like, feeling lazy or just not motivated, all of a sudden you got to be like, switch gears, right? Like, dude, I don't know if I'm coming back for this. I got to get this.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a level of that for sure. Then sometimes, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm really random, because I'll skate something and then, I don't know, like, end up looking at it again on a different day and be like, fuck, like, why did I skate that then? Like, there's no way right now. So I'm, like, very clicky of when I kind of, like, turn on. I wish I had that, like, I don't know, it seems like Niger or certain people have it. Even, like, I went to Florida with, like, just on a Vans trip, but, like, Jamie Foy was hanging out with us most of the days, and I got to watch him, like, the way he operates. Yeah. And he just, like, all right, you guys ready? And then just tries the gnarliest shit, like, right away, like, no testing, like, it's just straight to it. Yeah. And then right before that, he's just, like, chilling, like, nothing's about to happen, and then he just goes and does the gnarliest shit. So I'm like, how can I channel some of that? I want to know how they'll just, like, turn it on.
Yeah, special breed. How critical are you on yourself? Are you watching the footage over and over and seeing, like, oh, how's my style? Like, how did I land? Like, are you one of your biggest critics, or are you more like, I got the thing I wanted to get and it's good?
I'm definitely a big critic for sure. I think sometimes maybe I get a clip by, like, we'll look at it and be like, fuck, I did something better. Or, I don't know, like, I wish I went faster, or just little things like that, I think.
Yeah.
It's weird leading up to, like, putting out a video where the whole time I was, like, kind of sitting there just being like, fuck, like, I did not like any of my footage. And then it's like, I'm the only one that can change that. Like, so then, I mean, I guess it's one of those things, like, if you go out and do something, it doesn't really feel, I mean, there's a few tricks that will, like, feel special that you got, but, like, majority of stuff, like, doesn't feel special at all because you, like, did it. there's just a few tricks I feel like in everyone's part that you're like, oh, those are like the things I'm proud of. But the majority of it, I was like, fuck, I like hate this.
But that's also the part about filming like a 2-year project. Like in the beginning, you're like, by the end, you're like, that early stuff is so old.
Yeah.
You've seen it or remember it so much. It's like, for me, I edit things, and sometimes I edit something that I can do in a week, and sometimes it takes me a lot longer. And by the time those lot longer ones I'm done, I'm like, I don't even know if this is good anymore. I've seen it so many times, and it's just crazy. And so you really have to take yourself out of yourself and realize nobody else has seen this. It's new to everyone else.
Yeah.
And is it good?
I think that's a problem of like filming the clip off the camera and like just having it and knowing everything that you have, and you just sit there and you're like fuck, that's all I have, or like,
right?
I think that's like, but then it's hard because you kind of like need to see it to know what you should go out and get or focus on, because sometimes you end up just kind of doing the same type of stuff because you'll fully forget like a trick or two that you have.
What's your philosophy with the gram? Like when you're filming for a part, are you kind of like, I'm not putting anything up on the gram, or do you have like a meter that you know, like this is gram worthy, this is part worthy?
When it comes to Instagram now, like I think there's a point in my life where I like would dedicate stuff for Instagram, or like even wake up and be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go out and like try to film something for Instagram. And then now I kind of just don't really care anymore. And it kind of shows, like I probably posted like, I don't know, like I probably post like once a month. I mean, it's been like a lot lately because there's a lot, like a bunch going on, but I think, I don't know, I just kind of stopped caring. And I also, growing up, I always liked the people that I don't really see much of them.
100%.
So then when you see them, it's kind of like, oh, it makes it like more special. And yeah, I think that's like kind of the allure of like a Tom Penny.
A little elusive. You got like Mark Gonzalez, who you're like, dude, we just want to see you push. Where are you?
Yeah.
You know? And then you got the dude that's in every mag, he's just out there all the time. And you're like, cool, but I'm kind of, I was the same way. I always heard this rumor that at some point, Jamie Thomas told the mags, like, I don't want to be in mags for a while. I want a cool day. Like, I want people, you know. I think there's little philosophies of that. And I don't know. It's hit or miss for me because the way Skater of the Year has become, it kind of feels like this formula thing that I don't really like. Mike's going to kill me for saying anything negative. But it's just like, it feels like everyone drops their parts right before the voting is, and it's like an election. Whereas in the old days, it was just people ripped, and at the end of the year, you're just like this dude, right?
Yeah.
But we have social media, we have sponsors, we have money involved, and there's all kinds of things that add into this reasoning. And if there's going to be voting, it makes the most sense to drop your part close to when, so people remember it.
No, for sure.
So it's a trip.
Yeah, I think I was trying to think of who broke the mold for that. I think Mason Silva.
Really? I feel like it was David Gonzalez. I feel like when David came out with the whole part with Ewan filmed it, and even Ewan was getting shit. He's like, he's got Thrasher shirts on. He's got Thrasher on his grip, Dave. Like, da-da-da.
Oh, I guess, like, maybe, like, your Skater of the Year part. Like, you're... This is, I guess your part for it. I was saying like the quantity of footage.
Oh, yeah.
I think Mason dropped like four parts.
He's and like, then Suchu, too. Suchu had like a part every few months. But that's the shit that I think is sick. Like, instead of one just like huge part at the end, put out like four parts. You got enough sponsors and like less is more, make them hungry, you want more, and then here is more.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's just me, though. Like, I'll leave it to the brains out there that are putting it all together. But you're connected to a lot of friends that have been Skater of the Year. Is this too tough of a question? Who's your favorite all-time Skater of the Year?
I mean, obviously, I'm like really good friends with Mason, so it's like kind of hard to like just paint him as my favorite. But I was just thinking of, I'm going like just through it all. Might be Mason.
You can say Trujillo if you want.
I mean, yeah, Trujillo's sick as well. I feel like I can relate more
to
him.
There's been so many. It's like Tony Hawk, Danny Way. I think Cardiel was three, and then it just boom, 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 and
yeah.
There's a lot. But I mean, Flip had three or four. Yeah, four.
Like back,
I think,
to
right?
Back.
Insane. Like yeah. Arto, Jeff, Appleyard, and David. So that's fucking insane run right there.
I guess they had Bob, but.
Oh, yeah. Bob. Well, Bob, yeah. Bob got it before them, but yeah, yeah, still in there. Yeah, I always said my favorite party, I think, was Silas Baxter Neal, because Too Short was there and it was just insane. But Mark Johnson for best speech at a Sody party when he said, "It's the only one that matters." And he won a Harley Davidson. Like, it was like, and he gave the Harley Davidson or sold it before the party was over.
That's crazy.
Like, that was
just like, yeah, mingling.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
"Hey, you want to buy my Harley? I don't really like motorcycles." Well, tell me about the REO Speedwagon adventure. How did that become the song?
Me and Ryan Lee, for a while, have been just like send. This actually started from my last part, just sending music back and forth. And then I think since I haven't dropped footage in so long, I was like really nervous about what I wanted to skate to or what song. And I was just like, yeah, like analyzing it a little too much. And then I thought that song would be a little too like, I don't know. I didn't really know what to think about it this time, but I didn't think it was. I thought I would get more backlash from it, actually. But like, people are like, "Yeah, like, fuck yeah, I'm down for it." Like, where did that come from? But I don't know.
I think that's what it was. It's not like, who cares about the song? To me, it was like, whoa, it's so not what I would expect with you, and it was like it worked, and I was like, is this an inside joke that you guys are like, can't fight this feeling? Like, I don't know what it like stemmed from.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it just, I don't know. I just listen to that song kind of a lot. I don't know. I think I'm very 80s when it comes to music.
Oh, okay.
So definitely listen to that song a lot. And then just kind of wanted to see it over footage. And I kind of always like those like rock ballad kind of style of song, like rock love songs, or I always think they're kind of sick. And then that one, like towards in the middle of it, just like kind of rips. And then yeah, but then the lyrics, like me and Ryan were kind of almost like struggling, like what clips do we put from like the beginning to the end, because it's like, I don't know, I feel like sometimes lyrics are so distracting.
Yeah,
for sure. But then yeah, I feel like it worked out pretty good. It's definitely soaked on for sure. And I think there's so much going on in the song that like can like land on beat, or you can land on like lyrics, or like there's just so much to it that I feel like it worked pretty well. I was pretty stoked to skate to it.
What's the trick in that part that like was the most frustrating or took you the longest to get finally filmed?
My last trick for sure.
Oh.
Yeah, that was
Did
like,
you go a few times?
Yeah, like throughout like just different trips.
That's the blunt slide kickflip out, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was annoying because every time, well, it actually, yeah, it started because we went there with Zion and I had no plan on skating it at all. And we were there for probably like an hour and a half before he even started to skate it. And I was like, kind of started to give him shit, like, "What's up, dude? Like, you know, fucking skate this thing? Like, what are we doing here?" And then he just like, "You fucking skate it." And I was like, just kind of fucking around, like, "Oh, you want me to skate it?" And I was like, "What should I do?" He's like, "I don't know, fucking figure it out." And I was like, all right. And I just like grinded it. And then I was just like staring at it, like, what could I do, actually? And then I think I like blunt slid it. And then I was like, I feel like I could blunt kickflip this. And then I me and him like started battling it for I think like 2 hours the first time. Then it got dark. We both didn't get it, but we both like stuck it, and then it just kind of kept going that way. Like every time, I think we maybe skated it again together on the same trip or even a different trip, and then just kept sticking them, but never could roll away. And then it was just, yeah, and it ended up probably, that was like my sixth time there. Because I would get to a point where it's like, I'm already not good at landing off of a drop. Like, I've just never been good at taking impact. Like, I don't really know, like, how to do it or roll or anything.
Right.
And so I'll just, like, beat myself up to where my feet and, like, legs are just so sore. I'm just like, all right, I'm done. Like, I can't try it anymore. But then also getting, like, so close, just being like, fuck, man. Like, how can it, one, just, like, not work? And then the last time I was there, I was kind of, like, just there for that. I got pretty much, bands gave me an excuse to go out there because they were, like, just opening up the Brooklyn Banks. And they're like, if you want to come and skate them, like, we'll get you a hotel. And I just booked a trip for, like, 3 days. And it, my only, like, goal was just go and have one more chance to try that. And then I got like 3 hours in trying it where I was like kind of started off like immediately close and then just went through 2 hours of like just spinning my wheels being like, dude, I can't believe that I've tried this for this long and I can't get it. And then I don't even remember the one I landed at all. I remember the only thing I remember is like when I roll up, I like blink and I remember thinking like, why did I blink? Like, just because I was already, like, so just, like, brain dead. And then I just ended up doing it. I think I remember, like, just seeing, like, right when I was about to hit the floor. And I landed and I was, like, rolling. And I was, like, going off the curb being, like, holy shit. Like, I did it? Have no, like, don't remember flicking it. Don't remember any of it.
Damn.
And I think I was just crazy. Yeah, from pure, like, almost just so frustrated, or not even frustrated, I think I was just like sad that, because it was also getting dark. I think like Ryan at that point told me, like, he's like, dude, you got like five more tries.
Oh.
And I think it was, I just like maybe already accepted defeat and then just turned everything off and it just worked.
So sick. So that wasn't only the last trick in your part, but it was the last one you filmed.
Yeah, because then I think it came out about like 5 days later. And then I tried to go out when I got home and film, but I kind of like fucked up my toe pretty good. Right now it's like still black and blue.
Oh, from that?
Yeah. It's like, shit. Oh no, I tried a trick in Ventura, this ollie that I've been trying every now and then. And then I just landed on this crack that's like, I don't know, I'm probably going like 20 miles an hour and I like had a bad, like super bad ollie and just kind of flailed and put my foot down, but on a lip like that tall. So it just kind of like, yeah, it's not too bad though.
What happened? What's the phone call? What gets said that you guys are in costumes getting photos taken with Burnett for the surprise cover?
It was funny, it was random, like,
and also, were you surprised or did you kind of know what was coming?
I kind of had a little bit of a clue, but in a way I felt like it already went past the point of like, yeah, I don't know, it was random, but I had to like, I had these two boards that I had to sign for Vans and they were just been sitting in my car. And so like Kevin Sheely, my TM, like hit me up. He was like, dude, we have to sign those boards today. Like, I'll meet you wherever and we got to get like Ryan. And he's like, I think Burnett might be up here and maybe he could take a photo of it for us. And then he basically just said like, oh yeah, he's doing this like random skater of the year, or not skater of the year, like Go Skate Day video where it's just like random and cut up with a bunch of other people in it. And he was like, he's doing that, I think they're doing it at Garbanza. And then he didn't tell me who was doing it, but then when I pulled up and I saw like Louis and Mason and Jake, I was like, what's going on here? this wasn't really planned with me, so I feel like I would be included on the plans of this. Like, yeah, I just showed up and I was like, all right, like whatever. Started to like do it, and yeah, I actually didn't really see it coming, which is like kind of, I feel like I'm pretty aware of shit like that, but I just think of the way that it was like presented, like, dude, Kevin Sheely did a pretty good job at kind of just making it seem like, yeah, this is just some shit going on.
I love how Mike's been doing that. I forget who it was, but I think they were at a golf course on one of them, and he shows up as like the guy who's all dressed like a golfer. I like that. He's going the extra mile. Mike does a lot of work. He puts the mag together, and then he's excited about presenting it and everything. So like workaholic, that guy.
There's so much of the little things of the mag that people get so much enjoyment out of. And he does a lot of that, so I think he loves to watch like people's reactions to that, and it's always pretty funny.
Yeah,
there's always little surprises.
How important is that? Like, how big is that in your skateboarding career to get the cover of Thrasher?
I mean, yeah, it's like, I mean, it's always been something that I've wanted for sure. Like, it's kind of the holy grail of skating. For sure, like, and at times I mean in a way I thought like maybe I would have never get it, and I think if you have the attitude like, oh yeah, I'm getting like cover or whatever, then it's kind of just lame to think that way. I'd rather just be like, you know what, like if it happens it happens, and I'll be really stoked if it does, but I'm just kind of gonna let that happen if it does. So yeah, but it's definitely like really special for sure.
I mean, it's been what, maybe just a month that you've had all this stuff happen, like the wave pool party for the release of your shoe. Again, I don't know if people lost my phone number, I didn't get invited, but I look like a blast. And then the little commercial you guys made, I love like Omar with the sticks on his head.
It's pretty good.
Like, was that fun filming?
It was pretty like physical filming that.
Oh.
Just like running in the desert with a suit on, and it's pretty hot. And then like had to like just swim. I mean, they filled up the nude bowl, which is crazy, with water. And then while I was in there, like swimming around, I had to like put like weights in my pocket to like stay underwater. Like, whoa. It was just like a day of just running all day and then swimming. So it was just like, by the end of it, I was pretty like beat up. And I was also really nervous to see how the whole thing was going to turn out, because I didn't really see like anything until it was finished. And so I was just like the whole time be like, oh, I hope it like works out.
But yeah,
it all started just from a dumb joke I made to like Jamie Hart. It like, I just, because we were pitching ideas of like what we should do for the like for the commercial, and I kind of was just didn't really know what to do for it. And then I sent like a Dior, I think Johnny Depp ad, and then I've always thought like it's like, what is it, Sauvage, it's like the cologne, and I just always thought it was the funniest ad. It's just like so ridiculous, and just, yeah, I've always wanted to do some sort of like spoof like that. I mean, cologne ads are just kind of funny.
Yeah, my wife's thumbing through the mag and she's like, hey, there's a cologne ad in here. And I was like, what? And she's like, that. I was like, no, that's a Vans ad. She's like, no, it's a cologne ad.
Because that, the way that I started to like, after they're like, all right, yeah, like we're going to do this. And I was like, fuck, oh, really? All right. And then I was coming up with other ways to like try to make it funny, or to even have it that like let people know that I'm joking. And I wanted to have an ad that like just looked like a cologne ad where it had nothing to do with the shoe or anything. And it had that like scent that the scent is supposed to be a shoe, like a leather shoe. So I tried to get it as close as possible to that. But I wanted to have nothing to do with the shoe, just like a random ad that people would be like, what the fuck is this? And then they kind of like had to run it telling people what it was. But I was like, I just wanted some jacked looking like model photo with just like the scent to it. But the reason, it just costs too much money to try to like, we're gonna do that scent in Thrasher. It's kind of just you get that one ad for it, so yeah, they got to make the most of it for sure.
That's funny. Yeah, I was wondering because it's not super obvious that it's like sarcastic or like a joke, so I was wondering on what the backlash on that stuff was.
I haven't really heard people say too much of it. I mean, they think. I mean, I ended up making, like, an actual, like, cologne because we had to go figure out what a shoe smelled like. So I was like, might as well just make a cologne as well. Yeah. And then I've only gotten a few things, like, just saying you're a kook, like, or whatever, for doing it. But I was like, dude, this is all supposed to be kind of a joke.
Huh. True or false, you've gone out on the town and had drinks with Leonardo DiCaprio?
It's true, but, like, not, like, he would not know who I am or anything. Like, he has no idea. I just, like, ended up in proximity with him. Kind of, but, yeah. It was pretty random. I had one night in New York that ended up...
Oh, like, at the same party or something?
Yeah, I was, like, at some club, and I don't even remember how I got there or... how I even got to this table that I was at. Like, doesn't make any sense. Because those things, like, if you go out, and especially this is, like, New York Fashion Week, so everything is, like, the hardest thing in the world to get into or to, like, go anywhere in it. And, yeah, it was weird. I was definitely drinking too much. And it, well, I think I was drinking the perfect amount because I was able to navigate somehow through, like, getting in, going to this party, ended up, like, at his table. Like, I have no idea how I got there or anything. It was like I just, like, teleported.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then what's the deal with Brad Pitt's skate park thing? Or, like, it's in his yard or something, right? Like, Mike took you guys, or you took Mike. I don't know how it went, but yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty random. It was actually through Dominic Walker. He used to give Brad and Angelina's kids, like, skate lessons, like, way back in the day. Like, this is probably 2012 or something. And they already had, like, they built this crazy, it's the craziest house ever, just to begin with. And then the whole thing is wrapped in a skate park. So it's, like, right when you drive in, it goes into, like, full kind of like snake run down the whole driveway, like with banks on the sides that go back there. And then it like comes up and you basically could drive like through the whole house. But then there's just a fat bowl with full like cradle. And yeah, like it's insane. And then it goes into the back of the house. There's like an 8-foot like vert wall, like full bowl corner, ledges, flat bar, like... Huh. It's insane. And then on the way, there's just all these little pieces that you can hit. And it... And randomly,
did they
like...
live there?
Yeah, Brad lived there. And then... It wasn't until maybe his, like, kids got older, then he hit up... They hit up, like, Dominic again. And was like, hey, would you... You and some friends, like, want to come over and skate? And then Dominic hit me up, and I was like, fuck yeah. Like... leave right now. And then I like remember sitting right here and getting his address, and then I like typed it in, and it was like 10 minutes away, and I was like, no fucking way, like, where is this thing? Like, it didn't even seem real. And then he just sold that house, I think, like last year. But we kind of just tried to skate it as many times as we could. I probably went there 6 or 7 times.
Right. It's pretty fun.
Oh, it's sick. I mean, it's like that bowl like that they have with the like cradle is the most fun shit out. You can go so fast in it, and just zigzag. I mean, California skate parks made it.
Mm.
And then it was funny. Yeah, I think like, it was like Joe from California skate parks was like, saw I skated. And he's like, no way. Like, was so fired up because, I mean, we were the first ones to even like grind the coping. It was like,
oh, what?
Yeah. It's never been skated, like, ever. And then I brought.
His kid's not that good.
They just. I think like Brad and Angelina had a daughter or something that showed interest in it, in skating.
Uh-huh.
And then they just built the most insane backyard skate park. Like, I don't think. Yeah, like, no one has that in their backyard.
You think when they sold the house, the park's going to stay?
Yeah, I think it has to. And even, I think the house sold for $39 million.
Jesus.
And it's like, it would make no sense to tear it out just because there's already like enough room for anything. Like, or it's like, it's the whole yard is massive and then it's already got like a giant pool with like a waterfall and like this cave you can go in, like,
oh,
it's the most insane house like ever. Oh. And then I heard it was like got sold to this woman that has like two kids and trying to figure out a way to go and skate it again. It almost feels like now, like the other day I was driving by like Arto's old house where I'm like, that pool is still sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with that? Like, yeah, I've always wanted to go there and like leave a note just being like, hey, if you ever drain it, like, it's made for skating, like, don't worry.
But yeah,
I think it would be insane if no one knew and then you just put out an Instagram clip like now skating it. Would be so sick. People would like, what the fuck? He would even probably lose it.
Yeah, for sure. But. Oh man. Okay, let's do a this or that, and then I just got a couple more and then let you go. We always start with pie or ice cream?
Ice cream.
Sushi or pizza?
Gotta go with pizza.
Gangster rap or metal?
Metal.
Blondes or brunettes?
Brunette.
Dogs or cats?
Cats.
Baseball or football?
Baseball.
Barcelona or Paris?
Paris.
Hamburger or hot dog?
Hamburger.
Nose grind or Smith grind?
Smith grind.
Riley Hawk or Tony Hawk?
Riley Hawk.
Karaoke, hell yeah or fuck no?
Hell yeah if I'm drunk enough.
What's your go-to song?
I don't really have one, but sometimes I've definitely turned into a Mike Hogg.
Jake's into it fully too, right?
Oh, yeah. He just like does the most butchered Wonderwall you can do. He's gotten booed. Like, I've watched him get booed a few times.
That's amazing. I think we were in Portland when Silas had those contests up there, and him and Plunkett went back-to-back karaoke, and it was amazing. Like, it was like they thought they were karaoke pros and they got up there and it was a mess.
Yeah. It's always hilarious.
Okay, I asked to get a couple questions off the Instagram, and somebody wrote this one in, and I have no idea what it is, but who's Scary Gary?
Scary Gary. He's just like a local Ventura legend that is just a fucking badass dude. And there's, I don't know, he's just, yeah.
He's, you grew up with him?
No, he's, I don't know how old he is, but he's a lot older than me.
Okay.
But he's helped, like, yeah, like, build the most of the DIY in Ventura. And he, like, rips at skating. He actually helped build my mini ramp.
Mm.
But, yeah, he's, like, Ventura staple.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard the park just got its final pour, like, the Grandland Park. Is it looking good?
Yeah, I just skated the other day, and it's insane. It, like, it's pretty weird almost to skate a park like that in Ventura. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, just going to West Park and like so much time like around there than now. Like having that park in the same like scenery is the weirdest. It was like didn't seem real, but yeah, it's pretty sick.
That's awesome. And Mike Anderson's got a shop like right down the street from it, right?
Yeah, it's like a few blocks over for sure.
That's fucking perfect, dude. That's good for his business and stuff. What's the new trick you just invented on the gram?
Which one?
I don't know. I think you do like a half cab flip, turn the other way. Like you're in the.
Oh, that one's random. I like. Before I could even kick flip, I would just pressure flip. Like, I think at like the park that I grew up skating, I was like, for a minute, I was known as a kid that did pressure flips. Where I did not know how to kick flip for a long time. But that trick is like. It's like.
It's like a body varial, right?
Yeah, fakey pressure flip body varial revert. And okay. It's funny because I can either do it like first try or I'll battle it just on flat. Some of them work perfectly and then other times I like it doesn't work. I figured that out on King of the Road because then it was like a challenge like invent a trick, but I don't know if I can't say that I invented that. I think if you could name something or like call out what the trick is, like I don't know if you can really claim it you invented it. Somebody's probably for sure done that.
You think you could take it to a spine?
Maybe. I wanted to like try to figure out how to throw it in a line, but it's just, it's so hit or miss if it'll work or not. Because there's anything fakey pressure just doesn't really work that well.
Mm-hmm. What's up with the stalker? Any updates?
Oh, no, that's done. That's I kind of have a new one.
A new stalker?
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I'm not going to mention their name, but I wouldn't say it's a stalker. It's just somebody in... It's just strange. Actually, there's like two people in DMs. Just get people that are out of their minds that just start doing weird shit. This one dude went... It's a, so weird, but he sent it to this like box to my dad's shop, and it had like a Tesla t-shirt in it, and then... all these photos of him wearing the shirt like around his like city where he's from.
The last one was like full on making up lies and doing all kinds of crazy shit. Did you ever see that documentary Tegan and Sarah?
That sounds familiar. I don't think so though.
It's about these two girls that are pretty famous musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow somebody got all the information from, I don't know if it was Tegan or Sarah, but one of the girls, and just started like posting all this stuff like, oh, I got the new song before it comes out, and somehow had it, and like all this stuff. And it was just like, she like basically kind of ruined one of their lives, like basically came in hot, broke up her relationship, did all this stuff, and like you should watch it. It's gnarly,
it
like how in depth it got, and like how like where did you get this info? Like nobody even has this info. Like how did you get this? Like it was like a brain fuck. So, dude, I don't know. Like if that stuff that's horrible. You're just always like looking over your shoulder, maybe or something. Just like, dude, what the hell?
Yeah. Something crazy happens, it's maybe they'll just make a movie about it.
Speaking of making movies, do you got any good Felper interactions? Did you ever have anything where you're like, oh my god, or like he said something to you? Did he ever call you in the middle of the night and be like, Curran, I need this? Like, he used to do that to Arto and Reynolds all the time. We'd be at a hotel, it's like 1 a.m. He's like, I'm calling Andrew, get off Vans, move over here, get this. Dude, like, it's so funny.
I had a lot of interactions with him. But the this one that sticks out that I kind of threw Louis under the bus at one point. He got so mad at me for it. But I think we're at like Phoenix AM. We're at like the hotel lobby and we're like sitting there talking to Phelps. And he starts going like, fuck energy drink sponsors, like, don't do that shit, like, whatever to us. And then after, like, got done, I got quiet. I was like, Louis rides for vitamin water. And then, because at the time, I didn't ride for anyone. And then he was like, fuck, Louis. Oh, like, got all, like, bummed and, like, whatever. And then, like, ended up walking away. And it was just, like, it's like classic, like, movie scene or something where, like, Louis turns to me and he's like, fuck you, and just, like, walks away. And I was like, oh, shit, I don't know. Because I think I got away with, like, I was riding for Red Bull, but then I quit. So at that point, I didn't ride for anyone. Mm. But then I was hoping he wasn't be like, say something about me riding for Red Bull or something. So I chucked Louis under the bus. Yeah.
Who has the best energy drink move? It's got to be Money Bump with all the cans on the in the combi and then just.
Dude, I actually.
That's a great ad for that combi.
I don't know if you can see it, but I broke my arm from hitting a Rockstar can.
Oh, shit.
On the coping. I was like, yeah, I was like 15 skating the Oxnard Park and I was like trying to grind around the deep end and I, like, somebody smashed a can over the coping and I remember vividly being like, oh, like seeing it's a Rockstar can, hit it, go to the flat, it stays under my truck and I just go flying. Like, I get pitched so bad. And then I was actually wearing a helmet and I, like, hit my head on the ground so hard wearing a helmet, but I was, like, kind of laughing about it, being like, oh, shit, like, that was bad. But then I, yeah, tried to get up. My arm was just folded. But from a Rockstar can.
Jesus. You're really good at surfing and you're into surfing. If you're going to take a break from skating for a while and you could just have the epic surf trip, where do you go to Bali? Like, where would your mind take you?
It's either like somewhere in mainland Mexico or Indonesia somewhere.
Indonesia, right?
Yeah. But then that trip's like,
that's not a big trip.
Yeah, it's a trek to get there. I've like almost did it one time. Like, got like 90% of the way there and then right before I landed, like, Singapore. And as it was in Singapore, there was, like, a gnarly earthquake and full tsunami, like, wiped out the island that we were going to go stay on.
Oh, damn.
But then we still, like, ended up flying all the way there still and, like, got on the boat and started to make the trek. It's, like, a 7-hour boat ride out to these islands. And I remember, like, there with my family. It was, like, a Hurley trip a long time ago.
Mm.
And the sea is just so weird in this little, like, harbor that we're in. Just, like, swirling. Like, no, like, rhythm. It was just odd. And then, like, the most fucked up looking dark clouds out the sea, and we fully, like, started to do it. And then some boat just came, like, flying, like, over these waves and was just radioed us, and they're like, no, turn around. Like, probably gonna die if you try to do that. Fuck. And we're, like, going into the, yeah, like, it was gonna be dark. And it's basically a boat with, like, 10 or 12 people with, like, no roof on it, pretty much. And the people driving were just using a compass to get to where we're going. And I was like, dude, this is... My mom was, like, losing her mind.
Oh, man.
And then we ended up going to Bali. And then on the way back, a fucking volcano erupted. What? And then we basically flew through volcanic ash. Like, there was one airline. And then, yeah, I've had so many kind of, like, fucked up experiences, like, going to Bali, that
yeah,
I don't really want to go back there.
It's not that. You just like, we were on the big island of Hawaii and the volcano erupted and we went out and shot photos of the lava going into the ocean. It was so sick, but like,
it's pretty rad.
We were like walking out, kind of like, we didn't not necessarily know which way to go. And these locals are like, hey, dude, if you go on by yourself, you could just sink into the, like, the lava's under places you don't even know. And yeah. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, turning like, no way.
Floor is lava. Yeah.
It's insane. Do you surf big waves?
No.
Like, you're not down for Chopu, right?
No. I mean, depending on the size of it, but not like where it's like at its, like, what people consider like its best.
Like Nathan Fletcher style?
No, I'm all good on that. I feel like I just have... Like, I mean, if I was probably... If I was only a surfer, I would probably surf stuff like that. But I just, like, almost like the cop-out of skating to where I'm like, this is a lot more controllable. I don't know. I just split it up. Like, surfing... I don't want it to be scary for myself.
For sure.
I mean, sometimes it's fun to scare yourself in that, but I'd rather have skateboarding be scary than surfing.
Right. Last one is, I know a million things, but what comes to mind pretty quickly when I ask you, what was the best thing you ever saw on a skateboard that you were there for?
Oh. Mm-hmm. What that is. I think, like, the craziest display of skating I ever saw in person was probably Eyeshod at this... I don't know if it was, like, 11... It was probably, like, this 11 stair in Sylvania. Something. It was Mason's Sody trip.
Oh.
And he did 16 tricks on this thing. He'd be like, switch heel it, nollie flip it, nollie backside flip it, kickflip crook the hubba. Yeah, did 16 tricks. And then what was, like, the funniest part about it, there was this little cafe at the bottom, and there was just one guy, just random dude sitting there, just losing his mind, like, watching him skate. Because we were like, this is kind of the craziest display of skateboarding. Like, and everything's, like, first try.
Yeah.
There's, like, yeah, like, maybe one or two tries for some stuff. But, like, they're just looking over and just being like, dude, this guy has no idea what he's watching right now, but he's like, kind of gets it because he's loving it. So I'm like, it was just, yeah, it was sick.
All right, I just changed my favorite skater of the year vote to Eyeshod. I think I'm going Eyeshod. Favorite Sody ever. Eyeshod, yeah. Where? You just won.
He's a sick one.
Thanks, dude. Where are you going? You're going on an FA trip, right?
Yeah, we're going driving to Arizona today and then going all the way to, I think, Chicago.
Oh, sick. I was just in Chicago. I love Chicago.
I haven't spent too much time there, but yeah, it's cool.
Really appreciate this, and congratulations on everything that's going on. Do you well deserve? Just keep being you, and fucking hope to see you soon in real life.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, you too.
Later.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Oro Coffee. That's some damn good coffee. Order one or six bags at orocoffeeroasters.com.
Y'all like music? Because you're listening to SMFM.
Hello, good people. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. On this episode, we are going to travel to Brooklyn, New York, where we're going to hear the artist known as Phi Moon with the song called Speedboat. I'd like to liken this track to maybe a really, really good calculator watch. So listen and watch.
So listen and watch.
The ear sounds and the eye sights of Phi Moon. Take it away, Phi. was pretty dope. I'm telling you, I'm super lucky to get the cool shit I get coming through the SMFM inbox over here. You know? Man, when that guitar kicked in, I thought Crockett and Tubbs were gonna crash down this door. But I digress. If you'd like to hear more from Phi Moon, you can find him on Instagram at phi.moon.sounds. Okay, keep tuning in. You don't know what you're going to hear here. I love the heavy stuff. I love it all. Bring it. Bring it. I love all y'all. Okay? Until next time. P-E-A-C-E.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com. where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.